Welcome to E-commerce Scaling Secrets podcast. So on this podcast, we interview the best minds in online advertising and in e-commerce. And I share my personal experience spending over $40 million on paid advertising annually for our clients and our own business. So welcome to this podcast, guys.
With the first question from Alex that you guys had sent beforehand. And Alex tried to fix the YouTube issue.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, so...
Yeah. I guess we're live on YouTube.
I think we're live on YouTube too. So the first question, we have gotten many questions from you guys, but obviously Alex cannot respond to all of them. We've got several questions that should be interested for all of you. For example, David Kominek is asking, hi, I had some success with ads on low budget, like $75, $100, ROAS was around 2.53. Then I duplicated it to CBO campaigns with higher budget, and ROAS flops to like 0.6 ROAS. How do you do like proper scaling?
So first of all, I don't know how much data there is on the pixel. So obviously, if you don't have like enough data on the pixel and you're switching to CBOs, it will take some time for it to learn and adjust. Like what I would recommend. And if ABO, like which should be available, like it's still available to most people, then I would recommend to still use the ads at budget optimization, especially if that's like performing well for you. So just get the most out of it. Like just if for example, smaller budgets work for you, accumulate the data, get to like few hundred purchases, and then you can experiment with CBOs. CBOs will be like, inconsistent, and those ROAS like 0. Something, like they're quite common. So first I would just recommend, like, you can get to like $1,000 a day, a few thousand dollars a day in ad spend with just like ABOs, and it's totally doable.
Yeah. Fred De Jong is asking, normally they indicate that you need like 48 hours to run ad sets so that Facebook can do the learning first. What strikes me is that after 24 hours, you already see potential or no potential in ads. What do you think in that? Should you wait, or like, is there like a boost in the first 24 hours and you see in the first 24 hours the winner?
Yeah, definitely. Most of the times it's like either works or doesn't work from the start. So if you see, for example, that, you're spending like the first like $100 or $200 and you see like bad results, then it's not likely that it will correct itself. It's probably something is off either, with some of the elements from your advertising, either, the conversion rate is not good or your ads are not good enough. So I would basically monitor those initial metrics, and if something doesn't work, then I would evaluate the data, like see whether the problem is with your ads or the problem with your funnel, and funnel basically doesn't convert or people don't want to buy the product. Adjust that and pretty much make some adjustments. So the initial data would typically for me, like, I monitor the initial data. If initial data is not good, then it's better to shut it down, readjust, reevaluate, change something, and then, just get back to it instead of just like waiting till Facebook learns, which most of the times, it just doesn't.
Yeah, I think we have a very good, Alex has organized a very good course on CBO, where you actually talk about optimizing and testing the ads. That and how you do it in the first 24 hours or whatever.
Yeah, we had like tremendous feedback from people like that have utilized the training, the CBO blueprint. You can get it. It will pay for itself like hundreds of times. So get it. Should be linked somewhere somewhere below in the comments.
Yeah, I think one more good question from the audience beforehand, like many of you people asked that before, if a campaign is working very well and you want to scale it, do you first clone the campaign with a higher budget, or do you just use the existing campaign and increase the overall budget for this campaign?
Very good question, yeah. So, overall, like typically we would duplicate. If you want to like scale very fast, then we typically would duplicate. And let's say you have like a good campaign with like $100 or like $200 budget, then you just duplicate it like to $300 and see if, you know, see if the campaign still performs. As long as the audience is basically inside of the campaigns are big enough. So if the audiences are like, you know, at least 10 million people, so it has enough room for, you know, for expansion and for bigger budgets. And also, in terms of increasing the budget, so we also do that on some accounts. Typically, like that would perform like if your campaigns, like for example, like your campaign performs well for like at least 3 days. That's my personal observation. Like if it's quite consistent, then you can try increasing the budget, and you can try increasing budget by 50%. So that's what I would recommend. Also, I think we'll publish a video on the Inspect tool, or we haven't published.
We'll publish it soon. Yeah, we'll publish. Facebook as Rockstars and YouTube.
Yeah, so we'll have the training on Inspect tool. So pretty much it's the tool that allows you to evaluate the performance of particular ad sets. So you can see, for example, if you know there's like not big overlap or big competition. So you can adjust based on that. You can adjust the budget. So if you can see that, let's say frequency is low, competition is, you know, you're quite competitive in the auction. So if you see those metrics are on good side, then you can increase the budget on the existing campaign. So that's what I would recommend for those cases. So basically two ways of scaling. Like you can do both, like even at the same time. You can test, again, monitor the initial metrics. Like if, for example, you launch a campaign and it's not performing within the first like 24 hours, you get no sales or like very low ROAS, then I would recommend, you know, to just shut it down or just kill the non-performing assets. Pretty much, you know, make adjustments based on that data that you get.
Yeah, and actually the question that is closely connected to this one, what do you do if your winner CBO stops performing well in the past like 3-5 days? Do you try to lower the budget or just kill it?
I typically would kill, and I would like reactivate it, you know, after a few days. Or another solution that I would do, and I've seen that working like very well, and also with some of our students and clients, pretty much, let's say you have the CBO campaign that stopped performing, pretty much adding new elements to it, adding new assets into the same CBO campaign, and then pretty much utilizing the existing learning that's already present on that campaign, just testing new elements with it, and I've seen that working very well.
Yeah, and another question from YouTube from Mark Korgibot. Hi Alex, for dropshipping, should you test dynamic ads, instant experiences, and catalog sales alongside normal ads, or not? If so, how do you structure such campaigns?
Very good question. So yeah, dynamic, is it like dynamic?
Dynamic ads.
Yeah, dynamic, definitely. Dynamic ads are very good for, like, especially if you have a product with like broad appeal and utilizing big audiences, and you just let Facebook like kind of like optimize itself. You have few variables. Let's say you have three variations of the images or videos. You have three different ad copies, and you let Facebook like rotate it and change its variables. Important thing with dynamic ads is for you to have sufficient budget for all of them. So let's say if you have just the case that we've outlined, like three creatives, we have three ad copies, pretty much it's like nine different variations. So you have to fit it with sufficient budget. Because I mean, if you only spend like $20 a day on such, you know, on such ad set, it will not get sufficient data for all of the variations. It will not learn fast enough. So you have to keep that in mind. And for every variation, I would recommend at least like $10-$15 a day. So that will be in this case $90 to $140-$150 per that ad set. So it quickly learns and quickly adapts and finds the winning variations for you. What was the other?
Instant experiences and instant collections, I think. Yeah,
collections. I mean, those are to be tested, you know, because there are a lot of these like different types of the creatives, right?
The problem about collections, I think, is that you cannot use the same post ID for different collections, and that's you. Hence, you cannot just duplicate your engagement around all the campaigns. There is always a unique ID for this post, and I think the same problem is for dynamic ads. They're very good for testing, but not good for scaling, obviously, because you cannot just use the same unique ID for the dynamic ad and share it around all the campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, another question. After finding the winning combination of the creative and the audience, do you move it all to a new campaign? And how does your like final scaling campaign look like in terms of creatives and targeting?
Which one?
This one.
Oh, okay. After finding it. Okay. After winning combination creative and audience. Okay. So I mean, for example, if you can only get so much with like one creative and one campaign. Obviously, it will get to the point of of ad fatigue. Like if you found like the winning creative, then what I would do is pretty much expand it within as many audiences as possible. Ideally, you know, those audiences wouldn't like, you know, interlap with each other, and expand it with bigger budgets. And so obviously if you do like CBO, so then if, for example, you have good data on your CBO, then you can do what we covered a few minutes ago, pretty much just increasing the budget on that or duplicating that campaign with, you know, winning creative like inside of it with higher budget, see if it still performs on a higher budget. So yeah, that's pretty much it. And with audience, let's say you found like few audiences that like consistently work for you, then pretty much the only variable you would have left in that case is your creative, right? So you'd have to like, obviously creative will get to the point of, you know, of the ad fatigue, right? So people will sooner or later will stop responding to creative. So you would have to experiment and test new creatives. And if you have those audiences that consistently perform for you, then you can just consistently try new creatives with those same audiences, validate them that way, and pretty much scale them.
Yeah. Another question. Well, this is a difficult one, I think. A guy said that he got a few Shopify stores closed and now he is banned from Shopify. What do you do in such cases when you get banned from Shopify?
I mean, there should be some reason why you got banned from Shopify. So it's either, you know, they're not trusting, you know, that you're shipping your products, or there's some other concern. So typically, you know, it's because of some of the policies that have been violated, or the thing that they have been violated. So, for example, if they cannot properly, see that all of the orders have been shipped, or there should be some reasons why that happens. So what I would recommend is just to get in a conversation with them and figure out exactly why that happened. So all of the major like solution providers like Stripe, PayPal, Shopify, obviously they have their own policies, and you know, we pretty much operate within their ecosystem, so we have to comply with their, you know, with what they have established, you know, as rules. Sometimes the rules are ridiculous, obviously, but we still have to comply with them and find a way to pretty much for them to be happy. So what I would do is like get in touch with them, typically getting in touch with solution provider, like figuring out what exactly was the issue, providing them the necessary answers, providing them the necessary documentation. Typically that is, you know, the most common solution. If you cannot get it done with Shopify, then there are other, you know, platforms, like for example, like Commerce HQ, or you can use ClickFunnels to sell your products. I mean, there are other. Shopify is not the only, you know, solution for selling products. You can do like even your custom landing pages, as we've had. You guys might have seen it with our conversation with Oliver, was amazing interview. So there are many solutions to sell stuff.
Yeah, Luca is actually asking, Luca Tvaradze, do you open spots for students?
Yeah, so we have our mentorship program, e-commerce scaling secrets. We pretty much only work with people who we can help. But if you qualify, and pretty much if you're in position for us to help you, and we can collaborate, then you can apply for a call, and pretty much we evaluate like if we can help you. in your particular situation, and if that's a good fit, then we can collaborate and help you to scale your business.
Yeah. And Pascal Walter Barbara is saying, years ago Blueprint suggests to limit the ad sets with minimum and max spend. When I want to scale the campaign, I need to increase the ad set budget too. So there is a lower and higher limit. Mm-hmm. Does it restart the learning phase doing this thing with the increasing budget?
Increasing budget?
Of your campaign, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so when you... does it, like in your experience?
If you increase up to 30%, so what we usually do with the accounts, if we have a low budget and we know that we cannot go very high with it, we just increase the budget daily by from 20 to 30% per day. Let's say you have, 320, right? So you just take $80, right, and do $400 per day the next day. So if you go up to like 30% every day, it doesn't restart the learning phase. Mm-hmm. If you go more, it restarts. So you have to be careful with that, because if you do this minimum and maximum, we recommend doing this for testing purposes only. If you go like for the scaling with very high budgets, you should not use this minimum and maximum spending limit, because this will prohibit you from spending very well on profitable campaigns. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think, well, that's what Alex taught me, like at the first place, that if something is working profitably, you have to let it work. You do not have to limit the things that already work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's go back to YouTube, I guess. How can we protect our business account from getting shut, Mickey is asking.
Yeah, I have the cheat sheet actually for that. Let me see if I can find this now. It's like pretty much how to... I have this.
Yeah. What you should do to not have it banned.
Yeah. Let me see if I can share this with you guys. So it's pretty much like the main, I mean, there are a lot of different parts. Yeah, I guess we'll just share it after the call. So there are a lot of different, you know, pretty much you have to follow policies. You have to need like proper information about your business on your business manager. You have to pay with, you don't have to like have issues with payments, because that also gets the ad account shut down. That's like 80% of everything. And obviously like your landing pages, you cannot have the ideal starting point for that, because the question is quite broad. So I would just recommend to go through Facebook policies, because again, we advertise on their platform. We have to be compliant with what they, establish as policies, as rules. We're playing on their ground. So I would recommend to go through their policies as a starting point and, follow those policies. We'll share the cheat sheet, I think, after
the... Yeah, we will. Playground Warrior is asking actually a very good question. How to motivate yourself to take action? Something I am massively being struggling with.
I mean, there are obviously a lot of different ways of doing this.
What's your way?
I mean, it's like, I think getting committed to something, like, for example, I was struggling to go to the gym, regularly, like many people do. And so I just signed up for gym. I paid up front. I paid for, for the personal trainer up front. We have the meeting established at a certain time, and he doesn't accept, cancellations. So whether I go there or not, I still pay. So I don't like to pay, for nothing. So I go. So I think that's the easiest way. And probably if you're struggling with that, then you just lack, there are not enough like commitments you have. And you just got to this point where it's, it's kind of like people do stuff when they're pushed to, like when it's like do or die, I think. So I think like putting yourself in that situation or having other type of commitment will help you to, that's where the motivation comes from, I guess.
Okay, Barbas Hamilcar is asking, in your video ads, do you use a specific template? For example, first 3 seconds, product usage, then unboxing, then usage and features. Like, do you have a formula to break down a specific video ad?
Yeah, we have few video formulas, but I mean, at the end of the day, right? Like sometimes you'd have like video testimonial, like from customer, very like raw, very like, you know, rigid, very, you know, like natural, and it would be like not 15 seconds, it would be like 1 minute, would be like 2 minutes, and it would perform, it would like outperform all other ads. So as a starting point, yes, like you can start with a format where pretty much you're showing the product, you know, you're showing the problem that you know the product solves, then you're showing the product like what it does, all of its benefits, you end with social proof and call to action. So pretty much then all of that can be packed within like, you know, 15-20 seconds. But it's not kind of like it's a good starting point, but once you've established some kind of and to kind of like to understand that and to see examples of that, you know, just recommend to, you know, to spy on your competition, on successful brands, and see like how they operate, how they advertise, and just emulate as a starting point. Once you get some data, once you see what's working specifically for your market, for your industry, for your you know, demographics, then you can adjust based on that. So even longer, like different formats, like the landscape is changing so much, because it's like if that was like one formula that anyone can follow, like, I mean, everyone would be like, you know, like a billionaire would have like 20x ROAS, right? Yeah. But it's not that. So
yeah, just to prove that there is no like specific formula, is that how well user generated content is working right now.
Yeah.
You basically ask your customers for testimonials.
Yeah.
They send you very raw videos, like 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever. You just don't do any retouche, nothing, just straightforward upload this video template with a testimonial from your customers. It's performing like crazy, because people nowadays, they see that you are trying to sell something to them. And when they actually see that nobody is trying to sell them, but just mm-hmm. trying to share experience, they can relate to that. And
yeah.
That's why
and you have, I think you have like few extra, those like few seconds of attention actually, right? That's
yeah.
like, and then like you get people in. Because people have this, like, people see so many ads.
Like, yeah, like, you know. instead of using these, like, forms you are seeing everywhere, like, everyone's doing the same ads.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
just take raw videos from your real customers, sharing real experiences, and that's what people can relate to and can buy more from you. How many products do you test a day, and how much effort does it typically take you to create the creatives? How many creatives do you create by product?
Yeah. Very good question. So, how many products do you test a day? I mean, depending on the store, depending on, you know, like what is the model? Because sometimes you can have like a good product, you can sell it consistently, you know, throughout the year, without, you know, like changing it much. If you mean, for example, general dropshipping model, so that's typically, you know, 3 to 5, sometimes more. I know some people that are testing like hundreds of products per day. In terms of the effort, I mean, that's video editor work. So like they create the creatives, and typically there are like 6 to 10 variations of the creative per product. So we want to test different variations, want to see what's working. So that's pretty much how it's structured. Initially, once the product has initial traction, then basically comes down what Sergey mentioned, like user generated content, comes down to custom content created by influencers. So there are different sources of the content to kind of like demonstrate the values of the product in a different way and scale up that way.
When do people get product fatigue? No name, Sasuke. For example, product trend, and then they kind of die down. When should I move to the next product?
So I think a lot of advertisers, like dropshippers, they have this issue, and it's normal. I mean, there is no like evergreen products. Even like, you know, even like when Apple launches, you know, like a new phone, like initially it's like working well, and then it's like it's kind of like declining in sales, like it's always like that, and then they launch a new one, right, and then like it declines again. So I mean, if you see bad results, and obviously let's say you have validated the product, you know the product sells, so if products stop selling, it could be either because if your competition is being like very aggressive, you have like many competitors jumping on the same product, or it could be because your creatives have died out, right? So obviously test, you know, new creatives, like 6-10 new creatives per product. It's pretty much could be like 3 raw pieces of content modified in a different way, right? And that's how you have different variations of the content. Test it out. If it's still like declining results, that's just the time to move on. But yeah, a lot of the people I see, they will just have like one piece of content, one creative, and then it will stop working, and then just, okay, product that. But I mean, there could be like extra like $100,000 worth of sales with the same product. They would just experiment more with creatives.
Yeah, I think you should see the video with Steven Black where he's telling how they use the creative work. Like when you have one article and you break it down like into different channels and you have like 2,000 mm-hmm. pieces from one article of content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is very good, really. Okay, let's go back to Facebook. Many questions there. Okay, what CTR do you actually look for when testing? Like, what is minimum CTR for a good result?
I mean, the minimum is profitable one. Like, right? So, for example, we have some accounts where the CTR is like 1%, and it's profitable, right? And it's profitable. You know, ROAS is positive, business is profitable. We have some accounts where like CTR is like 5%. And it could be profitable and it could be not, right? So there are like few variations. I mean, that would be like very, and I know I established, for myself, I established 3% click-through-rate link as a unique click-through-rate link as kind of like the benchmark to aim for, but it's not always the case. If your website converts like 5% or 10%, I mean, you can get away with like very like average ads and you still can be profitable. So
yeah.
Monitor the conversion rate like more than like click rate. So because you have two parts, you have the website, the conversion side, and you have the traffic side, which is Facebook ads. And so if conversion side compensates for low click rate and stuff, that's fine. But if your website doesn't convert, and let's say it converts like 0-5%, then you probably have bigger issue with the website than with your ads. So kind of like I would look at those metrics more in a context, in a bigger context than in just ads by themselves. But 3% click-through-rate link, unique click-through-rate link is kind of like my personal benchmark I'm aiming for.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, of course, conversion rate is what's important, because if your funnel is converting well, if it's very well structured,
yeah,
your landing page, your cart page, your checkout page, if that's very well structured,
yeah.
So if you even have 1% click-through rate, but you have very high conversion rate, you're still profitable.
Yeah.
So that's like you need to think strategically, right? You
mm-hmm.
need to improve your funnel and then everything's going to work, because like Facebook ads is a few percent of your sales, but most of your sales is your website.
Hey, thank you for listening to this podcast. If you would like to see and learn live from some of the smartest minds in online advertising and in e-commerce and business, then I want to invite you for a private mastermind this July in Barcelona, where we'll have amazing experience together and we'll basically exchange your knowledge and we'll give you the feedback on your business and how you can scale it to the next level with what's working right now. So there should be a link in the description with all of the details for this event. I'm looking forward to seeing you there, helping you scale your business to the next level, and meet you in person. And now let's get back to the podcast.
Okay, let's say Fitness has a general store doing dropshipping. So testing a lot new products. How many ad creatives per ad set for one product should he use? What is the recommended budget to test? And when do you kill campaigns?
Very good question.
Drop products. Yeah.
Very good question. So three to five ad creative, basically 3 to 5 ads per ad set to test. Then recommended budget to test. So just give it sufficient budget, like. So at least $10-$15 per variation per day, per, you know, in one ad set. So if you have, let's say you have like 3 variations, so at least that would be like, you know, at least, you know, $20-$30 a day. So you get the data quick enough. So, and what was the third one?
The third one was, when do you kill the campaign and drop the product?
So you drop when it stops performing, even though you are testing like new creatives and you are working on that side. So initially your goal is to get the proof of concept that the product is selling. Then obviously you have this kind of like increase in sales, you're getting good results. And then eventually, like sooner or later, like it will happen that, you know, product will start declining. So that point you would have to obviously try to revive the product and, you know, test more creative. So 6-10 variations of the creative, like overall, to kind of like see if any of those resonate with people. And if not, then you'd have to move on.
Yeah.
And so that's one part of it, right? Another part of it, and that's probably like, that's a bit more complex and more advanced, but, you know, for example, I know a lot of people and even our students in our e-commerce scaling secrets mentorship program. You can drop the link if anyone is interested. You guys can apply. So we have, for example, students that are operating like local markets, and also they have like general stores. Pretty much, you know, what they do is they just copy the products that have worked like in other markets. So we have students that are operating in Dutch market, in German market, in French market, taking the products that have been working well on like US, for example, US like worldwide market, just obviously translating everything, adapting the ads, you know, to their market and making a killing with it. So that's another thing, like how you can extend the lifetime of one product. And then also with products, like how it typically goes, products go in cycles. Sometimes like those cycles are natural, and you can see on Google Trends, like for example, bicycle, right? You have bicycle March till like June or July. It's like streaming high, like very high, and then it just drops, and it's like no one is interested. So you have to monitor those. And for example, when it's time to jump on a trend with your product, and for example, revitalize a product that you've been selling, let's say last year with general stores, that's it. Like then you have the library of like 10, 20, 30 products that have done well for you, and you just, you know, reactivate them, you know, when the timing is right, and you get more predictability with your sales on top of testing new products.
Yeah, and in Alex's program, you can schedule a call below. You actually have weekly calls with the coaches who explicitly show you how you can find a very good product to sell. Like yeah. the whole research process is going live, and you can go through that and find a good product for you. Okay, so next question from YouTube. My ad account got disabled yesterday, but I got it back within a few hours. However, today the performance is way worse. Is it random or is there any connection?
Probably there is a connection. However, like sometimes after your ad account get disabled, you actually get like tremendous performance because like it's kind of like Facebook is apologizing for you basically shutting down your ad account. So that would depend. What I would do is probably I would run the ads for like max 3 days, and I would monitor if the performance is bad, and if it's not like improving, then probably you got flagged in some way. And if you got flagged in some way, then probably you'd have to change some of the parts. So that could be your page, your domain could be flagged, and those things, or your ad account could be flagged. So in those cases, like you'd have to test new variations of those and see if you get improvements with new ad accounts.
Yeah, another question from YouTube. Okay, how do you solve cash flow problems when trying to scale your Facebook ads?
Very good question. So first of all, like you need to use the payment processors and providers that have faster payouts. Like for example, if your payout is like 7 days, which I know people in certain countries have. I mean, I'm from Ukraine. I know like that, you know, there are some like very bad options. So you need to find the options that are suitable for you. And have like fast payouts. So if it's more than like 2-3 days, then probably you have to switch your payment processor. In terms of the cash flow overall, I mean, for me personally, so we have the consulting part of our business where, you know, we helping businesses and, you know, it's more like cash flow part. So that helps a lot. If you have, let's say your like 9-to-5 job or you have some consulting like gig, then, you know, that also helps you out, you know, with initial momentum. And then pretty much, you know, with e-commerce businesses, that's like just reinvesting the profits back into it. Obviously, like in United States, for example, there are options like, for example, Brex. I'll probably share it now. Like Brex is pretty much the like if you have good. Yeah, if you have good like history, let's say you have $100,000 per month in sales and you need extra cash flow, I think they'll give you like 50% of that, up to 75% of your monthly sales. So they'll give you up to $75,000 of credit. And if you pay it out, in like 60 days, pretty much there is no commission. There is no, like, there are no fees. So that's one of the solutions that you can use. But that's, I believe it's only for businesses that are located within the United States.
Yeah, I think another good question where we get a lot everywhere. Imagine you want to launch a Shopify store. How much money do you need to launch your Shopify business?
You need like $2,000 to $5,000 for the advertising. That's typically the, you know, say the like education budget, you know, that you need to spend to kind of like figure out things, and also
Shopify fee also.
Yeah. All of those you know, basic things. And then majority of it will be the advertising spent. So yeah, like $2,000 to $5,000. I mean, some people get traction like within, you know, the first like $1,000, they get like winning products. Some people spend, you know, $10,000 and you know, they still don't get that like breakthrough. So yeah, I mean, it depends on the case, but typically, like in my experience, most people get traction within $2,000 to $5,000 of budget.
Yeah, Emmy is actually asking for the second time. I wonder why most of lookalikes don't perform well. I mean, I have cold interest campaigns that work even better than lookalikes, but I don't have enough data for purchase lookalikes yet. I think that's because of the pixel event. There are not enough of them, right, for the lookalikes to perform very well.
It's not a problem, right? Like you can do very well with other lookalikes. Purchase lookalikes are not the only one that.
And even with interest, even with no targeting, in case your creatives are good, in case your website is converting well, you do not really need targeting if you have a very well set up funnel. And that's actually where Alex is usually coming to game, right? Showing how you do upsells, showing how you do downsells, showing how you structure your funnel, how you build an effective website. That's a very good thing. So schedule a call with Alex, guys, and he'll certainly help you.
Yeah, so I mean, there's definitely, so like it's not kind of because a lot of people think that lookalikes are just like some holy grail
solution for everything.
Yeah. It's like, if you have like a good product and a good you like well converting website, I mean, you can do well with interest, like you can do well, as Sergey said, like you can do well with no targeting. So people have, most of people have problem with those elements, like, you know, the right product, good ad, then, you know, with lookalikes or things like that. I think a lot of people say, you know, they just made it like lookalikes. It's like, once you have those like magic lookalikes, it will magically convert for you and will do wonders. But it's... There are a few elements that go into that, not just the lookalikes, not just the data.
Yeah, like nowadays Facebook, it's not like what we've been doing 2-3 years ago. Nowadays Facebook optimizes itself very well. So
yeah,
all you need to do is build a proper funnel. Like right now, targeting is on the second place, I think, and I think it's correct.
You don't need targeting. Yeah, like in a few years, you probably will not have targeting. It's like just
you'll not choose, need media
yeah,
buyers.
It's like you'll just choose. Okay, so like who do I want to, like what I want to sell, like what's the category, what's sub industry, like who do I want to reach, like okay, what's my demographics, like more or less, and then Facebook will like go and figure it out by yourself. I mean, some of our students in the program in e-commerce scaling secrets, I mean, if you're interested, guys, like there should be a link somewhere for you to apply. But some of the students, like, they just go like worldwide with brand new products, yeah, like from the start. And I mean, they're killing it. Like, they're spending like $10,000 a day on ads, like profitably. So you don't need to be like, it's not kind of like some major, like, holy grail. Brand new account, going like worldwide from day one, and, you know, and profitable. So because the website converts, product is, you know, what market wants, and that works. So
yeah, Jacob is actually asking something we've been avoiding but still have to talk about. How is coronavirus affecting dropshipping right now, and when do you think it will happen, like when you have again good sales in China?
It's kind of like, you know, like coronavirus is obviously affecting a lot of people and like affecting like China a lot. But if you work with proper suppliers, I mean, many of the factories have stock, so they can ship. You know, they're not fully functional, the factories themselves, but they have the stock of certain products. So you need to work with right people in terms of, you know, suppliers. So you need to work with good suppliers. So within our program, for example, we connect our students with suppliers that can help them to source products during this time of the year. Obviously, with coronavirus, it's impacting other things like feedback score, because you know, if you work with bad suppliers that haven't been able to ship the product, so then your feedback score drops and you have pretty much you know, kind of like bad situation on that front. But then, you know, at the end of the day, it's like it will pass, you know, it cannot be like forever. So I mean, we do what we need to do now to adapt to these circumstances. And that's it, and just move on. We have, like, you know, like we have, I mean, accounts are performing well.
Yeah, pretty well. All depends, yeah. Because Hassan Boy Jurayev is also asking, why Facebook down the last few days? We've not been experiencing any issues as of yet right now. Because really, if you have very good supplier, very reliable supplier, they will find a way to give you the product. If your funnel, if your supplying like network is not well set up, you can ask Alex, actually, because Alex has some very good contacts with the suppliers.
Yeah,
and he'll help you, because like it all comes down to whether you get your product on stock or not. If you do not, you cannot sell them. That's it. 1 day click versus 7 day click. Chris is asking, does it depend on the product price point or CPA? Or anything?
And overall the product, like how much time it typically takes for people to, you know, to evaluate and buy the products. If you're selling the products like $20-$25, probably you just go like after one click. And I would also evaluate results that you get by your like one day click. So you know, if you do like customized columns, you do the kind of the windows how you do it, like. Yeah. I would do like 1 day. I know some people that are just like using that for the optimization. Pretty much, you know, whatever came today, like in terms of sales, how much was spent, and that's it. That's how they are measuring it. It will be like very low. You'll be kind of like, geez, like my ROAS is actually much lower than I thought. But it's very like realistic.
The only thing we do not recommend to do for optimizing is optimizing by views, because these guys who like only viewed your ad and did not click on it, it's very poor traffic, so you do not want to optimize based on these people. So you just use either 1 day click or 7 day click. That's it, depending on your product. Yeah, okay. Fitness is asking about scaling. A, do you duplicate winning ad set or increase budgets in existing ad sets? I think we replied to this question already. What's your recommendation in terms of how much to increase the budget? Daily, if you are scaling, and about VAT, I hear some dropshippers don't pay VAT by simply not declaring, saying that generating.
Yeah, I mean VAT, like guys, all of those questions, like we are not tax advisors, so it's like all of those questions. I know there are like different, you know, loopholes and stuff. Like we do not, you know, endorse any of those. Ideally connect with a good accountant. Go to Deloitte, go to some reputable companies, ask their advice on that. what you can and cannot do. So yeah, be careful with those things. So like
I love this one. Alex, why do you give so much free content? Yes, it gets you client, but most of us are still learning, not yet able to hire you. Let us know.
I mean, very good question. I mean, it's like...
why do you give free content, Alex?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, for me, it's like at some point, probably you'll need some help with advertising. So probably like you'll know like where to find me and my team. I mean, on the other side, I mean, if it helps people, you know, so it's, I think it's, you know, beneficial for, feels good. It feels good when people get results. So.
How do you deal with feedback customer score? Ivan Lesi is asking. Mm-hmm. How do you deal if it goes below 2 or below 1? Has it ever happened to you?
Yeah, many times. So ideally, to deal with that, ideally you wouldn't have that like happen to you. But you know, sometimes it happens. So pretty much if that feedback drops like below 2, it can affect you as a person who advertises. If you was like an admin who created that page, so that's pretty much the worst thing that can happen. And to avoid that, if you're creating your pages, then ideally that would be someone else who creates those pages, not you. So for example, your virtual assistant, you know, someone who works for you, like relatives, friends, family, like they would create the page and add you to the page as editor. So for example, if the page goes down in performance, it does not affect you as advertiser, does not affect your reputation, personal reputation as Facebook advertiser, because I know some people that had their advertising privileges removed for low feedback score. So that's one kind of like the major thing. In terms of how to get it back, I mean, it's like, I know there are certain things that, for example, there's one kind of like way to reach out. For example, if your business has been affected by the coronavirus, then there's a way to reach out to Facebook and explain that your issues have been caused by that. In particular, so Facebook gives you, I think, more like flexible treatment in that case. So that's, but if it falls below 2, so... That's what I recommend there. If you wanna, if your business was affected by that, by coronavirus, just ping below this post, I don't know, better on Facebook, and I'll send you the link to it.
Yeah. Okay. I think there will be the last question because we need to close down soon. Hi guys. Let's say I test purchase lookalikes for e-packet countries 1-5% in CBO. 100, mm-hmm. and after 4 days found only one profitable assets, 1-2%, 23 million audience. How do you scale one profitable asset if you have this campaign? Michael Schaub is asking.
I mean, so in terms of scaling, so if that's like just one asset, 23 million people, I don't know like your product, like if that's like wide appeal product, or is that kind of like more like niche product. I mean, it seems like quite like wide appeal, like 23 million people. So
the whole impacted country.
So if you had only like, basically, if you have tested like 5 different lookalikes and only one profitable ad set, it could mean that your website is not converting very well.
Yeah.
Because there's not much, not many conversions and not many like profitable assets. Typically with good products, there are like few different assets within the CBO that are profitable. So that's one thing that I would, you know, take a look at. And another one, I mean, you cannot really like scale one asset like to very big numbers. So you would need to continue the testing process. If you have this ad set inside of the CBO, for example, and pretty much that's the only active ad set, what I would do is I would test new ad sets. Like I would add new ad sets into it, like new variations, either, you know, lookalikes of, you know, maybe like broader, like the what's been working. And like, I think that's like basically 1-10%. I've seen that has been like pretty much working, the kind of like broader lookalikes, bigger lookalikes, 1-10% in one. So I would test different variations of those. For example, people who've added to cart, people who've initiated checkout, added payment information. So I would test those lookalikes instead of the same CPU. I would try to find more winners. So, you know, pretty much when budget gets allocated, it doesn't go like just one asset, but it goes to multiple, and Facebook can fully utilize the CPO function.
Yeah, I think for you, Michael, considering your situation, since you are targeting so many countries, I think another good solution would be to try and actually break down your sales by country, mm-hmm. see which countries are performing better, and then just try to test, to isolate these well-performing countries from the poor ones and test them only and make lookalikes based on these countries.
Guys, we have to wrap up. So thank you very much for joining. Please drop your questions below, and thank you.